God wants me to be. As we look at this, and we'll get into this morning, I want to ask us a question this morning. Are we growing spiritually in our Christian life? Are we pressing on? Are we going forward? Are we going backwards in our Christianity, in our Christian life as believers? Where are we at in our spiritual walk with God? Where are we at this morning? Where we want to be? Where do we want to see ourselves to be? You know, we've all failed in the past. But if we are going to want to grow spiritually, we cannot allow the past, and we're going to see this in the portion of Scripture, to hinder us in the future. And if we want to grow spiritually in our lives, we all must understand that we cannot be satisfied with where we're at spiritually today. It doesn't mean that we're heathens, or it doesn't mean we're terrible or wicked individuals, but just as we physically need to see growth each and every day, because if we don't see that growth each and every day in our lives, we're going to decay and die. Same spiritually, we need to see growth in our life spiritually every day, or we're going to decay and die in our Christian life. Let's look at this thought of pressing on. How did Paul press on? Look at verse 12. Not as though I have already attained. I want you to see Paul's look, Paul's assessment of himself. I want you to see where Paul puts himself. Now, Paul could have listed all the things he's done for Christ. He could have listed all the things he has done. You know, Paul was probably one of the greatest missionaries ever. Paul was a great soul winner. He had the mission of taking the gospel and preaching the gospel and proclaiming the gospel. Paul was used many different avenues, many different ways to preach revivals, if you will, and to preach messages where people turned and repented. He was used to help other individuals and disciple them and see them grow. He was used in many ways for the cause of Christ. But he says these simple words, I have not attained. I have not arrived. I have not come to complete spiritual maturity in my life. How many have met a person that was older, gray head, maybe no hair, and you thought, man, that person must be a very mature individual? And then you saw how Steve acts. And then you wonder, wait a second, I thought he was old. I thought he was mature. Sorry, Steve. I thought he was that way. Wait. Now I want you to think about it for a moment. I'm just jealous how much hair Steve has because I don't have any. But here's the thought. We need to look at our lives, not how long we've been saved, but we need to look at our lives in this thought, that no matter how long we've been saved, we are still not where we need to be, spiritually speaking. There's always room for improvement. There's always areas we can increase. We can do more. We can surrender more. We can do this. We ought to be striving to grow in that relationship. We ought to be striving to grow in that way in our lives. I have not attained. You ever met someone that thought they have attained? They have arrived? You know what I'm talking about. They walk in the room. Whew! Look at me. Oh, it's okay. You don't have to bow today. You can bow tomorrow. You know how wonderful I am. I have attained, and I have come to the place of complete knowledge. All you people don't know anything. I have the most intelligence of anyone in this room. I know what 2 + 2 = 3. I am the smartest individual. Did you catch that? I'm the smartest individual that what? Paul says, I'm nothing. I am not attained. If we're going to press on, we have to realize we have not arrived in our Christian life.
in our spiritual life.
And that's going to play a role as we later look on, because he gives the illustration of the race that is going on. And it's going on because a lot of times we look down on other people and we think other people need help. When the real realization, if I'm growing spiritually mature in my Christian life, I don't think they need help. I know I need help in my life. And I got to get to that place where I see this. Hey, Paul looked and he had an assessment of himself and he realized he was not what he needed to be. Romans tells us, Paul says, I do those things I shouldn't do and I do don't do the things I should do in my life. Romans chapter 7, he fought with that. He says, I'm not where I need to be. And that's the first step in pressing on, that we have to realize there's room and improvement in our lives. And we need to want to grow. We want to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness and the things of God. But look a little further here. Not as I already attained, either were already perfect. Now we know that word perfect does not mean that Paul thought he was going to be a perfect individual. It carries the idea of one who is complete or maturing. Paul says, I have not come to the place of completeness. And you know the only time that we're truly going to come to the place of completeness in our Christian life is when we leave this world and we're with God and we get the new body and we're with him in heaven. But what should we be doing on this earth? We ought to be pressing on, striving to become complete and mature, growing in our Christian life. Paul responds to his own life was a mark of spiritual maturity because he saw himself for what he truly was. If we're going to press on, we must see ourselves and assess ourselves and look at ourselves for what we are. You ever get a wrong view of yourself before? And then you get the right view, and when you get the right view, you're able to move forward and be able to take care of the matters, take care of the things. How many of you have worked with something or done something, and you really thought you had it all figured out? And you thought you did the greatest job in the world. How many ever had to write a paper for English class before? And you thought you proofed that. You edited it. You had it spelled correctly. You had everything perfect. And you thought it would just flow perfectly. And you had the right footnotes. And you had the right headers. And you had the pages marked. You had everything you needed to do. And you had all the punctuations. You had all those things that they teach you in English class that doesn't make sense. And you had all those things done on the paper. And you read it and said, this is 100%. This is A+. I should get bonus points for this paper. And you turn it in, and you get it back, Rich. And there's a flag on the paper. And Rich colors it in and makes an American flag and turns it back. But wait a second. You thought you had an A. You get a flag, an F. How is that possible? Well, you decide to let someone else read your paper for you. And you realized when you wrote the paper, you must have been exhausted. You must have been up all night because you waited to the last minute and you procrastinated to write that paper. And you realized somehow, some way, that each paragraph repeated itself over and over and over again. Somehow you hit the copy button, paste button, and somehow it just repeated over and over and over and over again. You had the wrong assessment of yourselves. And when we have the wrong assessment of ourselves, we're never going to press forward. We're never going to press on. We need to see ourselves for what we are. I have not attained. I've not been complete. I'm not maturing as I should. I ought to be growing more. It's not that we're wicked, not that we're terrible, but we ought to see that growth in our lives if we're going to press on and press on in our lives. Look a little further here as we see this. We see Paul's assessment of himself, but we see Paul's aim in his life. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. That word follow means to eagerly pursue. He says, I Paul have a desire to eagerly pursue something? Now, some of you, Brian, like to hunt. Now, Brian just told me where he was at last week was how many degrees? 8 below 0. Why someone would want to be out there to kill poor Bambi at 8 below 0, I'm not sure. But Brian was out there, and he was eagerly pursuing. Now, did you get anything, or did you come back empty-handed? I tell you, so many of these people, they go to provide for the family, and they come back empty-handed. All right. But he was eagerly to pursue. It says, I follow. He went, and he pursued. Now, those that have hunted know that you usually look for tracks, you look for sightings, you look for things, and then you set up your deer stand with your heater and your everything else, and you sit up there, and your little fridge and everything else, and you sit up there with your gun to be able to hunt, right? But no, you eagerly pursue. You go and you look and you try to find, and you're looking for this and you're looking for that. He says, I'm eagerly pursuing. I follow. See, Paul assessed himself and realized where he was at. And Paul says, my aim is to follow. My aim is to pursue with all intensity. I am to have a passion to do this. I, Paul, I'm passionate, eagerly doing something. Look at verse 12. Now that I already attend either where I already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehended for that for which I also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brother, I count not myself to apprehended. He wanted to lay hold on something. He says, I got to get a hold of something. I got to lay hold. I got to follow after that which I need to lay hold on. What did he want to lay hold on? What did he want to apprehend? What did he want to get? He wanted to understand Christ. That's what we just talked about earlier on last week. He wanted to understand. He wanted to lay hold upon Jesus in his life and follow after Jesus. Do you know our aim ought to be? To follow after Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto him, having that focus, that aim, that we're focused upon him in our lives. He wanted to lay hold on who laid hold on him. He wanted to lay hold upon that one who laid hold on him. You see, he understood what Jesus did for him, and because of what Jesus did for him, he wanted to have Jesus the most important part of his life. That was his aim. That was his goal. He realized that he had not attained. He realized there was more he could be doing and serving God and living for God and being surrendered to him in his life. What's your aim this morning? If we're going to press on, our aim has to be looking somewhere. And where are we looking this morning? We need to be looking to Jesus. Do you know that's the example and sample that we're supposed to be looking at? That is who our eyes are to be affixed upon. We're to be affixed upon Jesus. When you're fixed upon something, that means nothing can take your attention from it. How many of you have been zoned out on something, affixed upon something, and the building could crumble, a fire could happen, and you don't have a clue what's going on? Anyone been... Wait, some of you raised other people's hands, Steve. And you have that. How many have done that before? How many you've been in your zone, affixed on something, and you didn't even know the kids were killing each other? Anyone been there, all right? And then your wife comes in, because usually the husband that's oblivious to what's happening, right? I'll blame ourselves, right? And says, what is going on? But you're affixed. You're focused upon what you need to accomplish. What you're trying to do, and you don't let anything get in your way. Now, we allow distractions all the time to get in our way. Yesterday, because the weather was somewhat decent, I decided we didn't turn them on yet because we wait till after Thanksgiving, but I decided to hang Christmas lights. And we have a two-story house, and we have the high peaks. And I decided yesterday, last 2 years we did not put them on the peaks. I decided I want to put on the very top peak. So I brought a ladder home thinking it would be tall enough to reach the least get me on the roof, it wasn't. So I went up. I was affixed. I was focused on what I was going to do. So I went up on the little garage-type roof that there. And then we have the next one up, and there's this little, probably about 3-foot little pathway of a overhang that goes over the windows. And so I got up on the ladder. I brought up another ladder, up the ladder. And I set this ladder on the pitch of the roof. That's like this. And I had Eli put his foot on the ladder to hold the ladder. And I climbed up the ladder. And then I shimmied up that little part, got on the top of the roof, laid over, got it all done. I was affixed and focused. Now, those that know Eli knows he liked to talk. Well, he kept talking to me and talking to me. And I have no clue what he said. But I said yes. And how many have done that before, right? But I was affixed on what I was doing. But you know what happened? I realized somehow, some way, I changed the lights. Instead of the end being the right end on this end, somehow I turned them. And I got them down to realize I couldn't get the power to it the way I wanted to. I could go the other way, but it wouldn't look as good. So I took them all down and had put them all back up, shimmering up and down this roof. Now here's the idea. We need to be focused on what we're supposed to accomplish. We're supposed to not allow distractions. I blame Eli for that. We're not to allow distractions. We're not to allow those things to get us off track in our lives. Our aim ought to be Jesus and be affixed upon him and live for him as we should. To lay hold, to apprehend, to lay hold on Jesus. Look at verse 13. This is very interesting. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. I want to stop there. This one thing I do. As we look at his aim, this one thing I do. You know what he's saying? I haven't apprehended, but there's one thing I need to do in my life that's going to help me press on. There's one thing in my life that I need to do that's going to help me live a victorious Christian life and to grow. Do you know we do many things? Sometimes we need to just go back to the basics and do one thing. Do you know a lot of times we struggle in our Christian life because we aren't doing the basics in our Christian life? We get thrown into teaching this class. We get thrown into serving in this ministry. We get thrown into doing this and doing that. And I'm telling you, it's good to serve. It's good to be in ministry. It's good to be in those things. But we miss the basics. We miss the one thing that we ought to be doing in a Christian life. We miss the time in studying God's word in an applicable, personal way. We miss being in the fellowship of God's house. We miss the things we need to grow spiritually in a Christian life. We get involved in this, we get involved in that, we do all this. This one thing I do. What was his secret to press on? Look at this. This one thing I do. And I believe this is a key in our lives. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Paul says, I refuse to look behind at my past. That word forgetting means to cease to be affected by. That word forgetting in this portion of Scripture means to be ceased to be affected by. He's saying, I'm not going to allow my past, the failures, the hurts, the successes to affect me today. I'm going to forget those things because those things are going to become a stumbling block in my life. And I'm not going to allow those things to keep me from pressing on in my life. Forgetting the things behind does not mean erasing the sins of the past. It means to break the power and influence of the past by living for the future and not letting the weight of victories and the failures slow us down. One thing that keeps so many people from going forward is their unwillingness to forget or set aside the things of the past. We need to not allow our past pains and hurts to keep us from pressing on. Do people have allowed their past hurts, their past feelings, their past sorrows to keep them from pressing on. You know what Paul says? Paul says, I'm not going to allow that past. I'm not going to allow those things in the past to keep me from pressing on in my Christian life. I'm not going to allow those things. Why? Because we can't allow those hurts. Everyone in this room, we've been hurt. I don't believe there's one person in this room that has not been hurt in their life. We've had someone stab us in the back. We've had someone do harm to us. We've had someone do things they should not do to us, call us things they shouldn't call us, hit, do certain things to us. But we can't allow the hurts of the past to affect us in the future. Forgetting means I don't allow it to dictate my life today. And Paul says, I can't allow what's happened in the past dictate my future. Do you know what we do, though? We allow it. We try to go forward, and then our adversary comes alongside us, and it brings up some things in our lives. And we hear those things that are brought up in our lives, and we allow it to dictate what we're going to be doing in the future in our Christian life. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. I got to forget those past hurts. Oh, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that I'm going to just always be able to move forward, but I need to move forward in my life. I need to grow in my life. I understand that. I got to forget those things, not to the point that I say, well, that never happened, but I forget those things that I'm going to allow it to affect me. And there's a big difference in our lives. I can't always forget if someone hit me, all right? That's going to be in my mind, all right? That person hit me. But I don't have to allow that hit to affect me in the future. I can't forget the time Steve cut me off and got in front of me and went 20 miles an hour after he cut in front of me. I can't forget that, but I can't allow that to affect my future. I got to move forward in my Christian life. I got to move forward in what I'm doing. Not only my past hurts, my past failures. I don't know about you, but I failed before. I haven't always done everything I was supposed to do. Can you believe that? I've had some struggles just like everyone else in this room. I have some times that I am not as close to God as I should be. I think we've all been there. But I can't allow those failures to stop me. I can't allow those failures to affect my future and what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to fail. I'm going to say things I shouldn't say. I'm going to do things I shouldn't do. I'm going to sin. Yes, every one of us are a sinner in need of a Savior. And yes, even after salvation, we're still going to sin. There's no such thing as sin as perfection. But I understand that I've done wrong, but that wrong, yes, it has consequences, but that wrong does not have to affect how I'm living for Christ in the future. Not only our past hurts, our past failures, but even our past successes. We can allow our past successes to hinder us in the future. We get to the place that we look at all that we used to do. Well, I read a story of a person that was almost 600 pounds. And that person was actually at one time an Olympic athlete. That person actually won awards, gold medals, silver medals, different medals. You would go to this individual's house, and they had a shrine of all their achievements that they accomplished. And that was 40 years ago. But what are they accomplishing today? We allow our past victories to hinder us from living for God today. You see, Paul had the right assessment. He assessed it himself. He had that aim, the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Get this, and reaching forth into those things which are before. I got to move forward in my my Christian life? And I got to make sure I'm going the right direction in my Christian life. There was a basketball game that happened in the NBA many years ago. And there was a very close game. And one of the players that was a guard for this team rebounded the ball. Rebounded, put it right back up, and scored the shot. And gave victory to the other team. He got caught up in all the excitement. And all that was going on, realized he was at the wrong basket. He rebounded the ball, but he put the ball back up in the wrong basket and scored for the other team, and the other team won. We got to have the right aim, the right focus in our lives. We need to make sure we're reaching forward, not going backwards. We need to make sure we're going in the right direction, not in the wrong direction in our life. But look at verse 14. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. You know what he says? I'm pressing. That means I'm putting my nose to the grind. Paul had the right anticipation. He was pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. He had the right assessment. He had the right aim. Now he has the right anticipation. And what he is doing, he is looking forward to what he is to accomplish for God and to finish that race. It's interesting, when a runner runs, they start at the starting line, but where are they looking? They're looking to the finish line. And he says, I press, I put my nose to the grind. That means I'm putting everything into it. I'm pressing on. I'm not going to allow things to affect me because I have the goal, the purpose of my race in mind. Do you know what it says, high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know serving God, living for God is a high calling? It is not a low calling. Do you know you ought to feel privileged this morning that you're saved? And you ought to feel privileged this morning that you have the ability to please God and live for God and fulfill the purpose God has called you to on this earth. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I press towards that mark. I know my purpose of life, and I'm putting my nose to the grind to carry it out and to do it. In the 60s, in the Olympics, there was a runner from Africa. This runner from Africa won many awards in Africa, and he had finally the privilege to come to the Olympics. Most people did not know who he was, but he was excited about the race that he was going to run. He started that race, the gunshot, and he was running that race. And early on, he started to have issues with his muscles, his hamstring, different things. He even tripped and fell and bruised himself and cut himself, bleeding. His knee even dislocated. The race was done. The awards were given. Most of the crowd is gone. There's only about 1,000 people left in this huge crowd group. And then about 2 hours after everything was done, here comes this man from Africa, limping along, blood coming out, knee dislocated, barely able to make it. And he crossed that finish line. A news reporter came up to him and says, why didn't you quit? Why'd you finish? Everyone's gone home. All this is done. And this is his words. He says, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race, but to finish the race. God has not saved you. God has not saved me just to start a race this morning. God has
has saved us to finish the course He has called us to. And it's high time that we as God's children awake out of a sleep and our slumber, and we understand that we are to press towards the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus and finish the course He has set before us. There was another Olympics that took place. This man was from Britain. He was a British sprinter. His name was Derek Redmond. He was primed to win an Olympic medal during the 400-meter race. After a strong takeoff, he faced some obstacles with his muscles and those things as well. He fell down to the ground. They thought he was finished. He was done. Out of the stands came his dad. His dad came out of the stands and picked his son up and put his arm underneath his son, and he helped his son cross the finish line. I'm so glad that when we fail, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and that's there for us to pick us up and to help us cross the finish line. We don't have to do it ourselves. And God can give us the strength, and God can give us the help that we need in our lives. He says, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we run and we're involved in activities, we get an award. Do you know one day, if we are faithful and we finish our course, we can hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And one day, we will be able to get an award. We'll be able to get crowns. But the purpose of those crowns is not for us. It's to be able to cast those at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because He's the one that has given us the victory and able to complete the race that is set before us. We need to press on. We need to press on in our Christian life to what we're facing. Look at this. We got to have the right aim. We got to have the right assessment. We got to have the right anticipation. But look at the right advice that is given in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He says, Paul is simply telling this, that the mature Christian attitude is to keep on keeping on and to have the right focus, the right mindset. And even if there's others that think differently, you keep following God and do it God's way. Don't listen to the influences of other people around you. A spiritually mature person that presses on doesn't allow other voices, doesn't allow other people to get them. Do you know we aren't to compare ourselves to other people? Because there's going to be someone better than you, there's going to be someone worse than you. That doesn't matter. We need to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize if we're going to succeed, we need to understand there will be others that might have different opinions how to run that race. I don't care what they say. You know who I need to listen to how to run my race? The Word of God.
Do you know there's people in this world today that says you can do this and still be a Christian? That's fine. But my Bible says this is how I ought to live. And you know what? If what they're telling me goes contrary to this book, I can't do it because I can't listen to their plan. I got to listen to God's plan and how I ought to run that race that God has called me to. God has shown me in His Word how I'm to run, how I'm to live, how I'm to do it. We're living in a day where culture is dictating Christianity. It should be Christianity dictating culture. I'm not talking technology. I'm not talking that. I'm talking where we allow the influences of this world to change what we believe. Do you know the Bible tells us that we're to press towards the mark of the prize of high calling? I'm to grind down. I'm to go that direction for God. But you know He tells us what we're to do as we press towards that mark? It tells us how we ought to live. I am to live a separated life. See, if I press towards that prize of the mark of the high calling, if I put my nose to the grind, and the advice is this, I got to do it God's way. Now, some of you have been in races before. You've been in competitions before. There's rules that are given, is there not? Basketball, there's rules given. Now, when kids first start playing basketball, Ethan's actually reffing kindergarten and first grade basketball, they allow things to happen that they would not allow in high school and college level. The kids don't understand they can't carry the ball like a football and run down the court. All right, they have to stop them and tell them it's okay, you need a dribble. So they take one dribble and then they put it back in the hand and they run down the court. You know what I'm talking about. And you teach them rules. And you learn that you can't double dribble. You learn you can't scoop underneath the ball and go over the top. You learn the proper shooting form. And you learn all the different aspects of that which is being taught. And there, and there's the rules and there's that. You can't shove a person into the crowd, all right? That's wrestling or football. That's not basketball, all right? Or hockey. Maybe it's hockey, all right? That it's okay to punch someone on a hockey thing, all right? And most people, they don't go to watch hockey. They go to watch the fights in hockey, all right? And so the idea is this. There's rules for what you're doing. And I know we hate to say there's rules in Christianity, but let me tell you, there's guidelines in Christianity, and the guidelines given in Christianity is so we can live a life that is pleasing to God and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling and finish it God's way. God has a way for us to do it. How many ever played street ball basketball before? You know what I'm talking about, street ball basketball. When we grew up in Michigan, our house on Annapolis, we had our garage was set back from the house in the back. And we had a basketball court, and then we had a metal gate right here. And we used to play street ball basketball. Dad didn't know how the dents in the garage door got, but that was probably someone's head. And we would play. And we would knock into the fence. We would knock in the garage door. We would knock over the different things. And there was no rules in street ball basketball. We would have blood coming down our nose. We would have different things happening, and that. And the goal was not even to score the basket. The goal was to keep someone else from scoring the basket and do as much as you could to keep them from doing that. But that's not the rules of basketball. What's the purpose of basketball? To score more points than your opponent. Do you know we're living the Christian life on our own rules today? And we're not pressing on. And we're not maturing. We're struggling. Oh, we might say we have the right aim. We might assess ourselves and realize we're not obtained. We might look and say, okay, yes, I'm focused on Jesus. Yes, I know I need to anticipate and I need the prize of the high calling. I understand I need this, but the vice is this. I got to do it God's way. I can't do it my way. Do you know what happens when I try to do it my way? I mess everything up. I mess everything up in my life when I try to do it my way. God says we need to live separated lives. Do you know believers think we can mix the world and God together and still be okay and still press on? We can't. God says you can't mix those two together. You can't serve God and manna. You can't have both. Either you're for God or you're against God. Either you're serving God or you're not serving God. Either you're living for God or you're not living for God. Either you're being holy or not being holy. Either you have a pure life or an impure life. There's no middle ground. If I'm going to press forward, I got to live a separated life. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I got to be set apart. If I'm going to press on, I got to be in this book. Do you know I cannot press on and finish my course if I'm not getting fed? I got to get fed. Do you know many Christians think they can go a long time and not be fed from God's word? Oh, they could even produce material to teach others and still not be fed. They can still go to services and still not be fed. They can still read pages, words on a page, and still not be fed. The problem is this: it's not the person that's feeding you, it's the person that's taking in the food. Because if God's word is preached, if God's word is taught, if God's word is read, it ought to get into our hearts, into our lives, and we ought to eat it. We ought to get fed from it. But you know what's happening today? We're not pressing on. We're not finishing the course because we're not doing it God's way. We think we can do it our own way, and we don't need to be fed in our Christian life. You know how we become wary and well-doing? It's not because we're doing too much. There's some times for that, but you know why we become wary and well-doing? Because we're not being fed and being energized by God Himself. Because we're doing it in our flesh. We're doing it in our own power or our own strength. We're doing it within ourselves. We need to be fed. How many of you gone a couple days without eating for one reason or another? And you still try to carry on the same workload, the same things that you try to do before. Anyone done that? What happens by day three, day four? You're barely able to function. You're barely able to carry it on and do it. Why? Because you're missing what you need. In the Christian life, the mark is ahead. The prize is ahead. We've started running. But we set this to the side. We've set church aside. We've set separated life aside. And we're still seeing our aim, we're focused, we know we're not where we need to be. And I know I need to go this way. And instead of running, now this is what we're doing. We're trying to still get there. And we're barely crawling. And then we go a little longer. And now we find ourselves flat down. What we can to try to make some type of movement in the goal. But what happens? We stop short of the finish line. Paul's advice was this: keep on keeping on. Get the strength from God. Do it God's way. Press on. Don't let your hurts, don't let your failures, don't let your achievements, don't let what you think who you are and what you are
keep you going forward for God and finish the course God has called you to. This morning, let's be real this morning. Let's finish the course. God has called us. It's a high calling. It's a privilege. Keep on keeping on. Press towards that mark. Maybe you failed. Don't let the past. Maybe you've been hurt. Don't let the past. Maybe you've had success. Don't let the past. Reach forth and keep on keeping on. Start serving God today and continue to serve God day in and day out and be sold out to Him. And live a life that is pleasing in His sight. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your precious word. Lord, we know this is a familiar portion. We know the truths we've heard before. But Lord, help us to just be reminded of them. Help us to glean those truths. Lord, if there's one who does not know You as their Savior this morning, help today be their day of salvation. Put their faith and trust in You. Lord, but help each of us believers, Lord, no matter where we're at in our Christian race, our Christian life, Lord, help us to realize we have not attained. Help each of us to realize we need to be moving forward. And Lord, if there's an area that You spoke to us, Lord, help us to respond in a way that would please You. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Pianist is going to play 639. Turn your eyes upon